We're here on KSOM, and we're talking politics, and we've had a visit from a man who's running for governor of Iowa, and he was the first one actually to declare his candidacy to become the next governor to replace Kim Reynolds, who has since decided not to run. He is in the Republican Party. He's a pastor from Williamsburg, a former state legislature. Brad Sherman with us here on KSOM. Brad, good to talk to you again as you're making your 99 county tour, and you come to Atlantic on a nice foggy morning. Yeah. Give us an idea of your picture to make Iowa your clear picture of to make Iowa for the future.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Chris. It's good to be with you this morning. And we are, you know, Chuck Grassley set a high bar, you know, and so now everybody has to do the 99 tour, you know. Yes. So it's not even an option anymore. But we're well on the way. I think we're at 74 counties, 76 counties, something like that. So we are we're well on the way. We've been to over 200 meetings. But yeah, we lived in Iowa now for 45 years. I've been a pastor in Iowa for 45 years. You know, and I've done lots of other things in Iowa. I've done home building, real estate development, and, you know, started some and chaired pro-life organizations, Informed Choices Medical Clinic. So bringing a broad range of experience, I think, and I think that's what we need in the governor's office, is just real relating to people. And so, you know, our slogan for our campaign is restoring the foundations of freedom. And, you know, when we moved to Iowa City in 1981 and started a church there, we saw the left-wing indoctrination that was taking place. And so we began to really see the importance of restoring those foundations and helping people understand what made America free, what are the foundations that our freedoms rest on, and begin to educate people and teach people. So in a nutshell, that's what my vision for Iowa is, to see a well-informed people who know how to be free. Because, you know, George Mason, the father of Bill of Rights, he said, if free people don't examine their liberties and how they were obtained, they risk losing these rights. And so if we don't know how our government is supposed to work, we won't know when it's not working. And so we really need an educated populace, and that's the foundation for understanding how to be free and to maintain our freedoms.
It's funny you bring up George Mason. I mean, right now Ken Burns is airing the series American Revolution on PBS, and I don't think people realize what the Founding Fathers' vision really was. You know, there's some I think some people, some Americans, don't even know the background of how America was formed, and what that we're a republic and not a democracy, and everything. And they think that people could do this and this and this, but you can't do certain things without, you know, changing the Constitution and everything like that. How do you feel just about how, you know, we can better educate, I think, especially teach history to young people, and more Iowans and more Americans need to understand more about how this country was founded and you know, how everything came up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a very important thing, and that's been something we've been doing for decades. I've got a little book I'm holding in my hand here called The Freedom Quiz. I wrote this book probably, it's just a small book with about 10 or 11 questions. I wrote it 12 or 14 years ago, long before I ever thought I would run for public office. But the idea of it was to just have a little quiz and pique people's curiosity, and then get them to read the short chapters that explain the answer to each of these questions. And so we've been giving these away all over the state. We put a new cover on it, called it the Campaign Edition, and we've been giving them away, you know. So, but the point you made about republic versus democracy is one of the issues in this book, and it explains the difference. And, you know, most people, if they think about it and they remember the pledge to our flag, you know, and to the republic for which we stand, most people can answer, yeah, I guess we are supposed to be a republic, but they don't know the difference between a republic and a democracy. And so that's just a very, very key issue, one of the issues that we have to understand if we're going to maintain our freedoms. Because we democratically elect representatives, but then the representatives are supposed to go and represent us and do the right thing and follow our Constitution, and that's the basis. There's more to it than that, but that's the basis of what a republic is. It's not just the will of the mob, because, or, and that's what the founders called it, was mobocracy. you know, that the mob can be manipulated. There can be a lot of misinformation campaigns. And many times people out here working, it's the people that work and produce make the economy work. They're out there working hard and doing their job. Representatives are supposed to study these issues and keep us on track governmentally. So a lot of times people don't have the time and it's to actually research a lot of these issues. And that's the job of an elected representative.
So every year, Governor Reynolds would always, you know, put out her agenda and things that she wants the legislature to consider. If you became governor, what would be some of your priorities to address that have the legislature address?
Well, one of the things that we're talking about right now is education. You know, we need to get these principles of our true history. And, you know, our history has been rewritten in many cases. So we need to make sure we have a curriculum in our schools that teaches the true principles and the true facts of our history. And, you know, the good and the bad. It's not just, you know, the things that we like to talk about. But when we compare the bad and the good, it's easier to see what the good is. And so that's one of the things that we have to do is really start reshaping our education to support this idea of a free country. You know, we've seen students go into university who come in believing in God and then they leave not believing in God. They come in being basically patriotic Americans and leave nearly communists. You know, so we have to really confront this whole issue of socialist and Marxist thought that has been infiltrating our country for decades and decades.
One issue that the legislature did not get done this past year was property tax reform. Governor Reynolds has come up with her own plan. I think she wants to introduce here at the upcoming legislature when they reconvene in January. What do you see is the best way to, because there's a lot, I mean, you talk to everybody in the state of Iowa who are interested in politics and issues. Mm-hmm. It seems like property taxes are too high. How can we lower them? What can the government do and to help that and to help people's concerns to perhaps reform property taxes?
Yeah, and that's the other big issue. Everywhere we go, people are talking about property taxes and asking that question, what can we do to get it under control? And so, you know, there's several things that you can do. There's no one simple answer that's going to fix this. But one of the issues, I think, is transparency. We need absolute transparency in how every dollar is being spent in our state and what it's spent for. And so that's something I'm going to support with everything I've got is to get an auditor in place that will actually do that, who's not trying to cover for somebody else, you know. And if we had a system online and where the average citizen can go online and see where everything's being spent, I think the people themselves would rise up and say money doesn't need to be spent on that and that and that. And then they have the tools to confront their elected officials, whether it's on the county level or the school boards or whatever, because you know our school boards are one of the taxing entities, and so as well as the county supervisors and many other things. So if people could see that would be huge. So there's always the need to cut spending, and I've had a good look under the hood in the legislature enough to know that there's a lot of obscure things happening that need to be out in the open. So that's one thing. You know, some people are talking about getting rid of property taxes altogether. I mean, that'd be wonderful for us, but we have to pay for our services, you know, some way. And so I don't see getting rid of property taxes completely unless somebody can come up with a better idea. And I've been hearing, but I do think that we can certainly get them under control. Spending's a big one. I think seniors who don't need to rent their house from the government. I want to make sure there's no senior that loses their home because they can't pay property taxes. That's a big one. Because, you know, we work all of our lives and pay off a mortgage, and then we still have to rent our home from the government. So at least our primary residence for seniors, I'm looking into that. And I'm hearing other people talk about that as well. And I don't know if they heard me or where it came from, but I don't care who gets the credit for it. You know, we just need to fix this and take care of people from high property taxes.
Another issue that's local here is the issue concerning TIF spending. The town of Messina, which is not that far from here, They have 32 wind turbines that generates almost $1 million in revenue, and it pays for certain things for that community. So they're concerned that maybe TIF funding will go away. I think it's an example where it works. Maybe it doesn't work in some other areas, but how do you feel about TIF funding and what the legislature could do about it?
Well, there's a place for it, but I think just any industry that has to have subsidy or favors from the government to exist perpetually, and I'm not against those things like this whenever they're, you know, to get things started. I mean, that helps boost our economy. But any industry that can't stand on its own eventually has to be questioned whether it should continue going. And I know, you know, whether it's TIF or whatever, there are some of these tax breaks that go toward the wind industry. I know one county supervisor was telling me that in their county, I don't know if this is countywide or statewide or not in all the counties, but one supervisor was telling me that the windmills have a 70% tax discount. And so if that's, you know, if that's what it takes to keep them going, then maybe we should look at finding other means of electricity at some point. There's a big controversy. The whole wind energy and solar energy is a big issue. A lot of people are divided on these things. People are concerned that these solar farms are just using up all the valuable farmland. And then, of course, much of that same concern goes with wind. But I think small modular reactors are something that's coming in the future. You know, these new reactors they have now, nuclear reactors, are way, way safer even than the old ones. And the old ones were safe. We've never had a major incident, really, or anybody died from those. But these new ones are even safer. They're smaller. We could have a decentralized network of energy production that would, and it's 24/7, you know, 365 days a year energy, and that keeps putting energy out even when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow. I think, and they use the spent fuel from the old style reactors and burn it down to a much safer level as well. So it's just a win-win. So that's something I'm hearing a lot about. I've been looking into it now for 3 or 4 years. You know, I just want to see Iowa be completely stable and secure in our energy. There's so many things that we can do out there to make sure that these things are working for the people.
Yeah. Another issue, of course, around this area is eminent domain with the pipeline that is proposed. It's now Carbon Solutions is now under new ownership. The legislature passed a vote. Governor Reynolds did not sign that. I think you and I have talked about this before, but how important is this issue in your agenda?
Well, it's a huge issue. And I've been fighting against the eminent domain for this carbon capture pipeline ever since I started in the legislature. And, you know, George Washington said it pretty simply. He said property rights and freedom are inseparable. You can't have one without the other. And so if we compromise on this issue, and there have been compromises in the past, but we have to turn this around. If we start going down this slippery slope of using eminent domain to take people's property for a private company who's not a common carrier for a product that's not a public utility, then economic development becomes the excuse for eminent domain. Then anybody who wants to start a business can say, well, then I need eminent domain. I need your property for my business because it's going to help everybody. You know, so this is a big deal. But yeah, there's new ownership for Summit Carbon Solutions, and some people are jokingly calling it the new, kinder, gentler Summit Solutions, you know, but it's still the same thing. You know, I mean, you just simply shouldn't use eminent domain for a private company who's not a common carrier for a product that's not a public utility. That's just a fact. But there's other issues with the whole carbon capture issue. You know, just the safety issue with CO2 pipelines is completely different than any other pipeline. It's not even the same kind of animal. It's a different thing. You know, the pressure of these things is off the way, way higher. It's like between 2,000 and 3,000 pounds per square inch. If these things were ever to rupture, the fog, it's a semi-critical, almost liquid state that comes out and it lays on the ground, fills up low-lying areas. It smothers every breathing thing. You can't even drive a car into that cloud because your car won't run with no oxygen. They're wanting to run these things past homes and schools and near towns. And, you know, this, it's just, that's just a whole different reason why these things need to be scrutinized. And of course, the third reason that we're careful is the fact that CO2 really isn't hurting our atmosphere at all. It's been called, you know, a pollutant almost. But, you know, I had a scientist from one of our top universities tell me, he goes, there's nothing I can do that humans can do to produce enough CO2 that's going to hurt our atmosphere. He said, but I can't say that or I lose my job. So what we've got is a climate narrative. Now, I believe in protecting the environment and clean air and clean water as much as anybody. But CO2 is not the problem. And so this scientist can't even tell the truth without fear of losing his job. And that shows us how this narrative is driving this. And it's all a scam designed to make a few people very, very rich through tax credits. You know, in the IRS code, we have the 45Q and the 45Z tax credits, which would make these people that operate these pipelines a lot of money. And so there's a lot of other behind-the-scenes issues on this that just really raise questions. And so it's a big issue. A lot of people are not informed on some of the details about it, but I've been looking into it for a long time, fighting it, and I'm all about protecting people's property rights, and we can't let this happen, this eminent domain thing, in that way.
So you've been all over the state, as we mentioned, as part of your 99-county tour. I'm sure you've opened your eyes to some things. You've learned some things. What are some things that you've learned along the way, maybe about yourself and maybe about Iowa, that maybe you didn't know before?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things that, you know, one thing I'll just say along that line is it just makes you fall in love with the state all over again. I mean, we've seen parts of Iowa we didn't know existed, and, you know, just beautiful areas. I mean, just that valley where Lehi is just, it's like a different world. Then you drive up the steep curvy road in there, and then you're out on the flat plains again, you know, and it's just like, you know, there used to be coal mines there, you know, amazing. And then we drove through I don't know if you call it Lois or Lesh Hills.
Lesh Hills, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was just beautiful out there. And it's one of only two places in the world where that type of formation exists, you know, and we have that right here in Iowa. And so there's so much there. And then just every place we go, just wonderful people, friendly people, just wanting to do the right thing. You know, I mean, it just falling in love with the state all over again. Another thing from a statewide campaign, particularly for governor, and, you know, it's a school all in its own. I mean, there are so many issues that are on people's minds, and, you know, obviously, you know, you'd like to have an answer for everything, but nobody can. We know that. But boy, it sure makes you think about a lot of issues you haven't thought about before. And anyway, those are some of the things that come to mind when you ask that question.
Yeah, beautiful state, river to river.
Yeah,
from the Lesh Hills all the way to northwest Iowa, you get beautiful territory up there around Decorah.
Oh yeah,
and everything. Gorgeous state.
I was deer hunting in Decorah area just a couple of weeks ago, and just observing that beauty. Of course, I've gone up there many times over the years.
Yeah. So I guess lastly, I mean, the primary is June 2nd. What is, and that's something that people don't know. I mean, we're used to caucuses, but there is a primary June 2nd for governor. What is your goal between now and then to get the word out?
Well, first I'd like for people to know how important primaries are. You know, sometimes, you know, if we don't pay attention in the primary, sometimes we don't end up with a true conservative even in the November election. And so now is the time to vet the candidates and to find the most conservative, the candidate that best represents your views and best represents the you know, the needs that we have in the state, who will protect your freedoms the most. There's a reason they call them primaries. It's not just because they're first. I think it's also because they're most important. They're of primary importance. And so that's a really important thing. And primaries, you know, I jumped in this race, like as you mentioned, you know, early before Governor Reynolds jumped in. And I actually called her last November and told her that I was going to run because my wife and I prayed about it. And God made it so clear that I've never been more confident in any direction we've ever taken than this. And so I just felt like it was the right thing to do to tell Governor Reynolds. I said, I don't know your plans for sure. It's a little awkward making this call. But I just want you to know this is what God's led us to do, is to run for governor. And she said, well, I bet it was an awkward call to make. but nevertheless, So I got in early, and then when she said she wasn't running, it actually made me look like I knew what I was doing. So, but nevertheless, and then more people started jumping in after she decided that she would not be running. And so I think that sets me apart in one respect. But, you know, as far as clarity of direction and vision and where I'm headed. But I just like to say that even when more people jump in, that's fine. You know, primaries are good. Primaries make us better. They make us sharper. And they make us dig in and think things through more carefully. And so primaries are a good thing. And so June 2nd's coming up quicker than you think. So we sure would appreciate if people would take a look at our website, shermanforiowa.com. We'll try to keep it updated. We're really busy, but we got a good team working with us. And shermanforiowa.com, June 2nd primary, we would appreciate your vote then.
Well, Brad, really appreciate your time. You came in on a foggy morning, but it'll be clear tonight when they light up the Christmas tree this evening in Atlantic. So glad you could visit Cass County, put that on your list. I know you're going to a number of other counties around the area. So welcome to this part of the state, West Central Iowa, and I appreciate all your time here today. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's a pleasure being here. It's a beautiful town.
Brad Sherman, running for governor for the state of Iowa, joining us here on KSOM.